Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loved us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of Jesus while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So I feel like my sermons are almost always about love in some way. But everything we learn in our Bibles, Old Testament, New Testament, and even Revelations are all part of this core theme, which is a giant message about love. The full package deal from God is entirely love. God is love, and everything he does is about love. And all he has done for us and given to us is love. Now, if there was only one verse that we had, and if we understood it, it would reveal everything to us. And we heard that verse already this morning, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Consider what the world looked like just before Noah. Evil everywhere. Noah and eight other people were the only ones that God saved because they were the only ones following. God loved that world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Because of love, God saved his creation. God could have snuffed us, could still snuff us. But for love, he does not. Now, there's a principle in studying God's word. It's called the principle of the first mention, which means the first time something is mentioned in Scripture, there is a deeper understanding in the context that helps us understand that word throughout the Scripture. So when do you think the first time love is mentioned in the Scriptures? I'll give you a moment to think. The creation story? Nope, not there. Although God does say it was good. What about the creation of man and woman? Not there. Although God says it was very good. All of the time spent in the Garden of Eden, when God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, never once is the word love found. How about the story of Noah? Not there either. Although Noah was a righteous and obedient man, The word love never appears in that story. How about Abraham? Well, eventually, but not at the start. The first time the word love is used is in Genesis 22, verse 2. By this point, Adam is over 100 years old. Isaac, the promised son, is a teenager. And God says this to Abraham: take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. So the first time the word love is used in the Bible, it's in reference to a father's love for his son and an offering that is to be made. Now, in case you're not familiar with Abraham's story, I'll just give you a quick little summary. Abraham and his wife Sarah had no children. And God had promised Abraham a son, and in fact, that he would also have grandsons and great-grandsons. God promised that he would make Abraham into the father of a great nation. But Abraham was still childless. God had promised, but God was very slow about delivering. In fact, Sarah was a wrinkled old woman well beyond the childbearing age when she finally conceived. And Isaac was born when Sarah was 90 and Abraham 100. And then God came to Abraham when Isaac was a teenager with this gut-wrenching command. And with a broken heart, Abraham obeys, and God leads Abraham up to the hills of Moriah with his son Isaac carrying the wood. But before Abraham harms his son, God stops him, and God provides a ram, a substitute sacrifice. You might not know this, but Moriah is where the Jewish temple would eventually be built by Solomon. And also just beside that spot is Golgotha. Of course, that's the hill where Jesus is crucified. Abraham wouldn't have known this. This story, which first mentions love, is a foreshadowing of the greatest story ever told about love, where God gave his only begotten son, his beloved son, Jesus, the one he loved so much. He doesn't spare him. There is no substitute because he is the substitute. Now, the first mention of love in the four Gospels is the account of Jesus being baptized when we hear the Father's voice declare from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." God loved us so much that he sacrificed his much-loved son. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. It wasn't because we were deserving. It was because God's love was tremendous. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Love withholds nothing. Love sacrifices the best. Love costs everything. And Jesus was a willing participant in the same way that Isaac, a strong teenager, who cooperated with his very elderly father when he was bound and laid upon the altar. John 13:1 says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. John 10:18, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. John 15:13, also the words of Jesus. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The love that is revealed in the Bible points to this perfect example of God's love for us. That love has been woven through the scriptures from beginning to end. It is about his love for us and about his sacrifice to bring us back into relationship with him. God has revealed what true love is. It is sacrificial. And it also makes the first move without expecting anything in return. God pours this love on us. For we know how dearly God loved us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And because we have received, we can now, by his grace, pour this love out on others. This outpouring of love looks like serving others in humility, showing kindness and compassion by extending grace and forgiving quickly. It looks like speaking words of life that build others up with encouragement. It looks like generosity and hospitality, giving of our time and resources. It looks like praying for others, especially those who would persecute you. It looks like gently communicating the good news of Jesus' love in everything we say and do, because we know it changes everything. It looks like living obedient to Jesus' commands to love God and to love others. So let God flood your heart with his divine love. It is perfect and casts out all fear. Let that love fill you through the Holy Spirit that is in you. And let this love increase your capacity to love others, producing a strong faith that is relevant through doing good works. God's love is powerful and a tangible presence. It testifies that you are adopted as his children and empowered to live out of this love. Remember the verse found in Lamentations 3:22-23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. It means you can't wear God out. No matter how many times you need to be filled, no matter how many times you mess up, you can't wear him out. Every day is a new day. So live in this love. And let it fill your hearts and change you to your very core. May the Lord, who so loved the world that he sent his Son, fill your hearts with the wonder of his love. As you wait and watch in Advent, may Christ's love dwell richly within you. Love that is patient and kind. Love that casts out fear. Love that took on flesh and came near. Go now in the assurance that you are deeply loved and you are sent to share that love with a waiting world. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.